The reading this morning is from Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Well, this morning we're looking at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11 that Derek just read to us. But I want to take you back a bit first, before we go there. And you remember some while ago now, we were talking about the church, this church, and why we're here. And we boiled that down to as few words as we possibly could. We said we're here to know, love, and serve God and our neighbours. And I wonder if you think much about these things and what they mean. What does it mean to love God? Well, Jesus said this. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." So I thought, you know, it's exam season now, isn't it? Young people having to do exams. Terrible, isn't it? Many of us did them in the days of our youth. But I thought, wouldn't it be fun if we all had an exam this morning? So, you know, here's what the exam paper's going to look like. On the left-hand side, all you have to do is list the commandments of Jesus. And then in the right-hand column, just give yourself a score out of 10 of how well you think you're doing at keeping the commands. Okay, now I'm going to give you a bit of help, because this is quite tricky, isn't it? The scholars disagree slightly over how many commands of Jesus there are, because while many are explicit, a few are implicit, and so there's a bit of disagreement on some of the implicit ones, but most people seem to agree that there are 50 for you to get, so that's a maximum score of 500. Now, I did realize when I got to this point that as there are 50 of them, if it took you about a minute to remember them and write them all down and give yourself a score, that would be 50 minutes, and we probably don't have time for that. So I'm sorry about that. So I thought, you know, you could do that at home maybe as a little test for yourself, or maybe you could do it in life groups. You might want to give that a go. I'm going to come back to that thought in a couple of minutes. But let's go back to Acts chapter 1. And, you know, we've remembered in communion Jesus' death and his resurrection. So kind of here's the recap of what happened next after Jesus' death and resurrection. So Easter Sunday morning, I'm sure you all remember Easter. It seems like a long time ago now, even though it's only a few weeks. Jesus meets Mary Magdalene. And then you remember he takes a walk to Emmaus with a couple of disciples, and he explains to them everything about the Messiah from the Old Testament. And then he appears to 10 disciples behind locked doors, only 10 because you remember Thomas is missing on that occasion. And so Jesus comes back again and appears to the 10 plus Thomas, where he shows Thomas the scars in his hands so that Thomas can see and touch them for himself. Paul tells us that at one point, Jesus met with 500 people who all saw him resurrected from the dead. And then he pops up in Galilee. Remember that? Helps Peter with a spot of fishing. And then has a little chat with him as they walk along the beach. I'm sure you remember all of those things. And the New Testament says this: after his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Remember when Jesus began his ministry? Right at the outset, Jesus began preaching about the kingdom of God. And here he is, right at the end, still teaching about the kingdom of God. So there's this 40-day period, and Jesus knows that he is going to go back to the Father. He knows that he's going to ascend back into heaven. He knows that the disciples are going to remember that day, because you don't forget the day when someone rises up into the air and goes back into heaven. So Jesus knows they're going to remember this day. So Jesus must be thinking, what words am I going to leave with these people? What is it that I want to stick in their minds? It's a bit like Jesus writing his last will and testament, his last words that he's going to say before he leaves. What is he going to say? So I thought, well, you know, here are some possibilities that might stick in their mind. He could go with, that's all, folks. That one seems quite popular. Or maybe he could use the words, something like Winnie the Pooh's. Goodbye? Oh, no, please, can't we go back to page one and do it all over again? Now, I do wonder if, you know, some of the disciples might have thought that just after Jesus ascended. Wouldn't it be great to, you know, have another 3 years? Or maybe this one might be particularly apt. So long and thanks for all the fish. All the times the fishermen must have fed him. Or, of course, there is the more obvious one that Jesus could have gone with. You know, we remembered it at communion this morning. Glyn reminded us, you know, I'll be back. But Jesus didn't choose any of those things to say. So what were the things on Jesus' mind? Well, Mark tells us this. Jesus said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. As we've just read in Acts, Luke wrote this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The thing that seems to be on Jesus' mind is that the message about him should reach everyone. That was the thing that Jesus seemed to want to leave with his disciples. He didn't want everything to end with them. But I wonder if you've ever thought about this. How do 11 people take the good news about Jesus to the entire world, with the population at that time estimated at 200 million. How are 11 people going to do that in the days when there aren't any broadcasts? There's no internet where you can just get everybody with a YouTube video. Nothing like that exists. In fact, they don't even have motorized transport. You've got your feet. If you're really fortunate, you might have a donkey or a camel. And of course, there's boat trips where there's water. How do 11 people reach 200 million? Well, recently we've been thinking about Abraham, haven't we? And God's promise to Abraham that he would make him a great nation. It says in Genesis, I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And then he said, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. God made from Abraham a great nation, many, many people. But it all started with one, Isaac. So how were the disciples going to reach 200 million people? Well, Jesus had one more thing to say that's recorded by Matthew. Very familiar to us all. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always till the end of the age. Jesus says that they're going to reach 200 million people by spiritual reproduction. They start with one and teach them to observe everything that Jesus has taught them. Now, if you go away and do the maths, if 11 people share their faith with 11 others who become Christians, and they disciple them and teach them what Jesus taught them, and the following year, the 22 of them go and do the same again and the same again, it takes less than 27 years to reach 200 million people. You can reach 200 million people from 11 in a lifetime. If you want to go away and check my maths as well, you can reach billions of people in 33 years. The lifetime of Jesus, you can reach the entire population of the world from 11 people. Jesus said, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all that he had commanded them. Now, if you think about that, that's a command that includes all of us. The disciples had to teach people who teach people who eventually taught us, hopefully, to observe all of Jesus' commands. So this commandment is for everyone. It's not just for the 11 disciples. The thing is, we're born into the kingdom of God, but we're made into disciples of Jesus. When we tell others about Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts them of their need. And it's the same Holy Spirit that fills and equips each one of us. Each one of us who's commanded to make disciples. The Holy Spirit equips us for the job. So if we go back to the exam I was talking about earlier, you know, the commandments of Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. You see, there's a relationship, isn't there? Jesus said, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. He said, if you love me, keep my commands. Obeying the commands of Jesus seems to be something that Jesus is really keen that we do. He's also really keen that we do that and make disciples. And it's the job of all of us to do that. Unfortunately, there is no get-out clause for anyone with this verse and with this commandment. And so that leaves us with some questions. The first one's this is, are you confident about sharing your faith? Am I? Because to make disciples, the first step is to actually share our faith with someone. How confident are you that you can make a disciple? Jesus said, each of us should go and make disciples. Do we actually know what that means and how to go about doing it? What about the commands of Jesus? Do we actually know what they are? Because the next obvious question is, how good are we at keeping them? And if we don't know what they are, it's quite hard to keep them. It's a bit kind of, you know, by luck rather than judgment, isn't it? And the last question for us is this. If we're not making disciples, who do we expect to do it? Jesus gave this command to all of us. But I suspect it's not something that's always at the forefront of our minds. But if we're not doing it, who do we expect to do it? Do we think it's the minister's job to do this? Whose job is it if it's not ours? Jesus said that we should go and make disciples of all nations. He said that we should teach people to observe or to obey all that he has commanded. So we have a choice to make about whether or not to take seriously what Jesus said. We have a choice to obey his commands, and this one in particular, or we can just not bother and hope someone else does it for us. Now, if you're interested in this, if you think this morning that God is saying something to you, I've tacked onto the back of this, which you'll be able to find on the website when it gets posted, some places you can go and find some other resources about making disciples available on the web. There's audio, there's video, there's articles here that you can go and find. And there are two books as well. One's called The Lost Art of Disciple Making, and the other one's called Disciples Are Made, Not Born. Interestingly enough, these books are over 50 years old, but they're still in print. Partly because there aren't that many books on the subject, surprisingly. You'd think, considering the emphasis that Jesus seems to put on it, there'd be thousands of books on making disciples, but apparently not. But these two are still in print and available. So are we going to do what Jesus said? Are we going to make disciples? And are we going to teach them to obey all that he has commanded? And are we going to start with ourselves? Are we going to make ourselves disciples and equip ourselves for the job? It's something we all have to think about and consider. Let's pray. Lord, it seems that on your mind, as time came for you to leave this earth, was to reach everyone with the good news. Lord, we ask that you would show us what part you want us to play in that. We pray, Lord, that you would enable and equip us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to obey your word, to do your will, because we ask it in your name and for your glory. Amen.